Our first reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what he has been commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are merely servants. We have done no more than our duty.'" Our second reading is from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1. "Night and day I thank God, keeping my conscience clear and remembering my duty to God as my ancestors did, and always I remember you in my prayers. I remember your tears and long to see you again to complete my happiness. Then I am reminded of the sincere faith which you have. It came first to live in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I have no doubt that it is the same faith in you as well. That is why I am reminding you now to fan into a flame the gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. God's gift was not a spirit of timidity, but the spirit of power and love and self-control. God's word is life. Thanks be to God."
This morning we land midstream into Jesus' teaching when we hear the disciples blurt out, "Lord, increase our faith." As though what they're hearing is beyond them or seems too much for them. The sense that they're not up to the task and in need of more than what they've got. Chances are we may know that place. Maybe the waiting time for medical attention or to hear from a loved one. Maybe the waiting time is pushing the edges of our ability to cope. Maybe we're standing on the threshold of the next step, but our courage has up and left. Maybe it's clear to us the right thing to do, but we're stymied by all the complications. Or maybe it's not clear the right thing to do. "Lord, increase our faith." Whatever else that is, it is a call for help when we are at our wits' end. And we imagine there is some way forward, some help to be had if we just had more faith. But what Jesus says is that more faith isn't the issue. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, if you have the tiniest speck of faith, you could be about unimaginable, impossible things. And then he goes off on what seems like a totally unrelated tangent. "Which of you," he says, "would say to your servant who has just come in from the fields, 'Here, sit at this table, enjoy this meal with me'? Would you not instead say, 'Prepare my supper and serve me,' and then later take your turn to eat and drink? Do you thank the servant for doing what he's meant to do?" This is Jesus taking us through the proper order of things. There's the role of the master and the role of the servant, each of them being about the business that is theirs to be about. But having led us into imagining ourselves in the role of the master, "Which of you," he says, "would say to your servant?" Then comes the punchline. so you also, when you have done all that you have been ordered to do. Oh, so now we're the servants. And now he's speaking in real time, not story time. Jesus says to us, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are ordinary servants. We've done more, no more than our duty. So what do we have here? Jesus hears the disciples' plea, increase our faith. As they see it, they're not up to the task of following in his way. What they see is their inadequacy, their lack. But he comes back with, you have been given enough. The tiniest amount of faith is all that's needed. As servants of God's grace, your job is to get on with this way of love, this way of abundant life for all. Just do it. Get on with living the life that God is calling you to live. Get on with it? Really? How unrealistic. Who do you think we are, Jesus? Can't you see our limitations? We're only human. Of course he can see our limitations, our frailty, our self-centeredness, the power of fear in our lives. But there's another power he sees, more powerful yet, that his disciples have yet to experience. What he knows that they don't know is that the same divine power that they see in him is also in them. That same power for life, that same healing, enlivening love, that is at work in and through him, and it is with them and for them, and it is there with us and for us. Divinity dwells in everyone. That's our backstory. That's our original blessing. So Jesus' encouragement to get on with it, this is Jesus believing in his disciples, even while they and we have yet to believe in ourselves. The creative, redeeming, reconciling life of God is already planted within us. It's not for us to go searching somewhere outside of ourselves, but rather to come alive to ourselves, to wake up to the presence of the Spirit already with us. When we walk through the woods and are overwhelmed by wonder, when we sing and dance in joy with a child, when we get the urge to create something beautiful, when we feel compassion for those incarcerated families waiting to be deported, when we weep in the night because one of our loved ones is still estranged, when we pay attention to what we purchase, when our hearts are broken when someone is bullied or marginalized, when we grieve when our first response is prejudice, here and there in all of this, we are experiencing our divinity. Wonder, creativity, joy, compassion, forgiveness, grief, conviction, this is God's heart in us. And do you notice how these holy impulses often arise unbidden in spite of ourselves? You see, this is the evidence, the experience of God's power for life at work in us, quite apart from our own doing. Our part is following the impulse, allowing that impulse to move us, to grow in us. It's no wonder Jesus used the image of the seed, even the tiniest seed. Seed that carries within it this explosive potential well beyond what we can imagine possible. So we have Greta Thunberg in touch with both deep grief and deep love for the planet, for the gift of her own life. Grief and love, these holy impulses, expressions of divinity alive and at work in her. Holy impulses that she allowed, that she honored within her. Holy impulses that she obeyed. How humiliating to be one girl sitting alone outside Parliament with her on-strike sign. How intimidating it would be to walk into a room full of corporate executives to confront their wicked practices. What hope is there of changing the minds of world's leaders who are already committed to another way? And yet, none of that deterred her. And now look what's happening. There's something to be said for obeying the impulse. There's a whole new creation, a whole new way of being that's possible through obeying the holy impulse. For behind and inside every holy impulse is the power of God's infinite love waiting to explode. So the question for us is, what will we do? What are we doing with our divinity? How are we making space in our lives, in our days, to be in touch with, to honor the holy impulses that arise in us? What we're talking about is world healing power, this close, as we take seriously the holy impulses that rise in ordinary people like us. Blessed be God, now and forever. Amen.